You have those days where you're just like, I can run forever. And then you have days where you can't. And so it was one of those days where I just showed up and like, it was just good.
Diz Runs Radio episode 533 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray. It's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just letting you know that Ultra is an affiliate partner of the show, affiliate sponsor, and they are the ones bringing you today's episode, which actually means that you're the ones bringing us today's episode, because the only time I get paid from them is when you go through my link and get a pair of shoes or get a new pair of tights or shorts or whatever, anything that's on sale from the Ultra website. If you use the link dizruns.com/ultra, that's ALTRA, that's an affiliate link. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but if you get yourself a new pair of shoes or, like I said, any apparel or anything like that that's on the website, that rolls a couple shekels my way and helps keep the lights on, helps keep the show coming to you and hopefully improving as we go. That's certainly the goal. So if you're in the market for some zero drop shoes, foot shaped toe box, for my money, the best shoes out there. But that's just one man's opinion, so take it for what it's worth. But head over to your local running store if you have a running store that sells Ultras. Head there first, support the small guy. But if not, Dizruns.com/ultra supports another small guy, which is this guy, and help keep the lights on, get yourself a new pair of shoes. And right now, good time of year to do it because there's lots of things that are on sale because new models are coming out. So Dizruns.com/ultra. And now let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today is someone that enjoys running and working with runners every bit as much as I do. As a runner, she loves pushing herself and expanding her comfort zone while training and or racing. And as a coach, she loves to be able to help her athletes find the right balance between training hard and recovering properly in order to perform their best on the day of the race. So without any further ado, it's definitely a pleasure today to be able to go a few easy miles with wife, mom, coach, and runner, Ms. Carly Daub. Thanks for joining us, Carly. Really appreciate it. And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. The pleasure is mine, and looking forward to seeing what comes up today. It's always interesting to me to kind of figure out where the conversation or to try to predict where the conversation is going to go. But before we get to all the good stuff and the fun stuff, just want to make sure everybody knows how to find you if they're interested in looking for some more information or connecting with you or things of that nature. WahooRunning.com is the website for the coaching business. WAHOO Running.com, and pretty much at Wahoo Running on all the socials is probably the best way to track Carly down. And we'll have everything linked up as we always do in the show notes for each episode. And today that would be dizruns.com/533. So, Carly, the way we always start off the show is with the same introductory question. That's really a pretty simple question, but the answer sometimes can be a little bit tricky. It's not always an easy and straightforward answer. It's an easy question, but not always an easy answer. But it's just a fun way to start the conversation. That's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
All right. My favorite distance is the marathon. I love 26.2 miles, and I find it challenging because you're racing against the time, and you're also racing, against the distance. Anything can happen over 26.2 miles. And what I have taken away from each one of my marathons is so different. And actually, I'd say one of my slowest marathons was my most challenging just because of the obstacles that I faced. And my fastest marathon was my easiest. So that's kind of, funny. But yeah, definitely the marathon. I've done a few halves too. And I've kind of still like that 26.2 miles.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I'd be curious to dive in a little bit if you're so willing in that slower marathon that you mentioned. You had some challenges, some obstacles that made it pretty tough. Can we dive into that? What were some of those obstacles that you had to deal with?
Yes. So I just had a baby, and I thought it was a great idea to bring my kids along to that marathon and stay in a hotel with them and have them cheer me along. And also I was breastfeeding, and I was like, oh, no big deal. I'll just pump before I go out there and run. And I kind of had a little minor panic attack about mile 16 if I was going to get back to my kid in time to theater. Mm-hmm. And just like, it was a very interesting how I ran that whole entire race with kind of them on my back in a sense. Like I was having anxiety about getting back to the hotel room. I was everywhere but that race. And so my focus was just so, I don't know, on them and not myself as a normal mom that is like, you know. And also, it was a cool race too, in the sense that I'm a pretty type A, do it myself kind of gal. And my husband knows this about me as well. And I like to think I can do things on my own. And I called him about mile 16 on the phone because I had my phone with me. And I said, I don't think I'm going to finish. And he's like, no. He's like, slow down, start walking. You got this. He goes, let's just take it 1 mile at a time. He's like, I want you to call me after every single mile and we'll just recheck in. And I said, okay, I can do that. So the fact that I like relied on my husband to kind of get me through that marathon when I normally do things on my own and just kind of, you know, it was kind of a cool thing for our marriage as well. And I did end up finishing. It was, it was 4 hours and 25 minutes and I was exhausted, couldn't even lift my, it was weird. My legs were fine. I couldn't lift my arms. Cause like I said, I felt like I carried my kids and my shoulders and just along that whole entire race.
Wow. That's certainly something that, I think there's probably a few moms that listen to this that can relate to at least a little bit of just, you know, whether it's running a marathon right after or whatever it is, but having the thoughts on the kids, on the family, and trying to, having that, carrying that extra burden. So on the flip side, then the race that was your fastest that felt like it was easiest, why, what about that race was so easy or did it, was just training went well or how did that one go? So seem so easy in relation to, the one we just described.
The biggest difference, so this race was actually right after this one, about 3 months after this, hard marathon. I had, everything had gone right for that first marathon. The training was great. I had nailed every single one of my paces. I was just thinking I was going to go crush a PR and I didn't, but then I was bummed out because I was like, well, gosh, I'm so well trained right now and I didn't have a great race. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to pick another race about 3 or 4 months out. A local race where my kids can stay at home. And I'm going to set myself up for success right now because I know my body is ready to run a pretty good time for me and, you know, break a PR, you know, run a PR for. So the biggest difference of why it went well is I kind of set myself up for success, left my kids at home, stayed at a friend's house that was close to the race, woke up that morning. I was familiar with the course. I had run the course. It was my second marathon, so I had run the course before. And the weather was cold. I mean, it was just kind of one of those things, like, you know, that things just kind of line up on race day perfectly, you know, where you're feeling good. You have those days where you're just like, I can run forever. And then you have days where you can't. And so it was one of those days where I just showed up and, like, it was just good. And one other thing that was really important that I did, I like to run with people. I'm a social person and I'm scared to go out and do something by myself. And so I knew that because I was scared to do something by myself that I probably needed to. So I went out and did a 20-mile long run by myself with a group of runners that I'd never met. I knew they were running, but I just wanted to have the fuel and the water along the way just to practice. And seeing that 20 miles at a pace that I was trying to nail during the marathon, that I could physically do it, it was a huge aha moment. Like, okay, I can go out and run 20 miles knowing nobody and running a pace that I want to. I can do this in the marathon. And that, it was like almost like a day and night like switch over. Like, okay, I'm strong. I got this. So that was... It's funny. Whatever you don't want to do is most likely what you need to do in training.
Yeah, that's certainly true. That rings true on a number of levels. With that long 20 miler, like you said, being a social type of runner, enjoying to have running partners and friends and things like that around. Do you think, and maybe this is kind of what you're getting at, but just to spell it out even more, or maybe not. Maybe it's a different angle on the same situation. But by doing that 20 miler by yourself, did that kind of set yourself up, you think, maybe mentally, to know that on race day, you're going to run by yourself. I mean, in most cases, if you're trying to race hard, you're going to probably run by yourself in most cases anyway. So was it that kind of where the confidence boost came into play for you?
Yes. Okay. Yes. 100%. I tend to try to run with buddies. I'll run their paces. I will, and I always avoid what I need to be doing, what Carly needs to be doing to better herself. And I did on at that first marathon, I showed up and I kind of tried to run another friend's race that I had trained with. And that also was weighing on me. And then at Oklahoma City, that was the marathon that I did really well. I showed up by myself. No one, none of my buddies were running the marathon. They were all running the half marathon. I lost them at the start because they were all going to be starting much faster for a half marathon than I'd be starting for a full. So I ran starting line to finish all by myself. And that 20 miler definitely is, you know, how running is. It's all mental. It's all, what can you, you know, and then to know that I could do it, I can do 20 miles by myself. I can do 26 miles by myself. It was night and day. It was really big for me.
Yeah. That's something that I've been wrestling with a little bit for the last year or so. And maybe, you know, I didn't plan to dive into some of the coaching stuff quite this early, but maybe we'll at least hit on this topic while the iron's hot a little bit. But that idea of, you know, it's great to have running friends. It's great to have people that you can run with and chat with and, you know, kind of have those good friendships that are built on miles and miles and miles spent together. But it's also kind of important to remember to, you know, if you have goals that you're trying to get to as a runner, you kind of have to do what you need to do to be successful. And that may not always align with the people that you're training with. So I guess where I'm going with this and kind of my question and maybe a little bit of a topic to discuss for a few minutes is when you're in that situation or when you have a client that's in that situation, how do you break free from training with the group? Is it something that you do all of the training by yourself? Is it like there's strategic runs that you just like, guys, I'm sorry, but I can't run with you today because I have to do this because of the race I'm training for? Like for me, it's been kind of a tough situation. Like I enjoy my running friends, but I can't train with them, or it's gonna hurt my performance on race day. So how do you and maybe by extension, how do you, some of the people that you're working with that are in those similar type of situations navigate that and still maintain those relationships even though you're not, you know, quote unquote running with them anymore, or at least as often as you had been in the past?
Yes, it's funny that you say that. We had a run this morning that was, you know, in two weeks I'll be running the Austin Marathon with a bunch of buddies. And one of my girlfriends is a great, strong runner. And we are coaching her up. And she's probably, you know, just a few 15 to 20 seconds slower on what we prescribe her paces than like mine. And today's run was 2x2 miles at threshold. And because I'm about 15 to 20 seconds faster, she will push herself to try to stay with me just to run with someone, right? But for me as a coach, I need to say, hey, Lisa, you need to be hitting your paces because your goal is not my goal, right? And it's hard because I want to, just as much as she wants to run with me, I want to run with her. And so it's been challenging to put away my social side and then think as a coach, okay, what's best for her right now? Maybe we do need to run separate so that she isn't always feeling pulled by me to run those 15 to 20 seconds faster. Or we run the easy runs together, you know, where you just go out for a 7 mile easy pace run, instead of like your track Tuesdays and your long runs, maybe those are separate just because, you know, her goals are different than my goals in 2 weeks at Austin. And we've been going back and forth with that. And my business partner, Christy, she always reminds me, remember, you know, let's think about what's best for her as an athlete. You know, just because Christy's motto is just because you can doesn't mean you should. So if you can hit a certain pace, if that's not what, you know, is going to help you on race day, don't do it now. Like think long term, you know, what's going to help you at the marathon? Not what's going to help. Not what's going to look good on your Garmin today.
Yes. So. Yeah. That comparison game on Garmin and Strava and all those things. Like it's a lot of fun, but boy, it can get you in trouble if you get too caught up in trying to beat everybody on the segment and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes.
Oh goodness. So shifting gears back a little bit, like I said, I want to get into some more of the coaching stuff later. But since we kind of had stumbled upon that topic, I really wanted to hit on it just real quick. But looking at kind of your running history, how did you get into the sport? Has running always been something that's been something that you've enjoyed to do, or did you come upon it in college, after college? Where did you find the passion for running that you have now?
Well, I am a competitor. I do love to compete at like everything I do. And so I was a collegiate volleyball player for 5 years. I had redshirted and then played up actually in Washington. I'm from the Northwest. Mm. And when I finished my senior year, I was at the senior banquet and I was sitting next to my dad and I said, you know what? I'm kind of tired of people telling me how to work out, how to eat, how to sleep, where to be, where to, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to do the opposite of volleyball. I'm going to run a marathon. Mm. And my dad just laughed. He's like, oh, of course you are. So 4 months later, I had signed up for the Eugene Marathon, and I was running the Eugene Marathon for the first time. And it is a different, my mindset then, thank goodness I wasn't coaching at runners then, because my mindset then was, oh, I can muscle through anything, because I was a muscular individual playing a Division II college volleyball. But that was really kind of what I did. I just muscled through the marathon, and it hurt really bad. At mile 20, I was like, oh my gosh, why do people do this? But afterwards, my uncle, who has run, he actually lives in Florida. He's run over 300 marathons, and he, every single spring, I would go out and visit him when I was in high school and college, and we would do a 5K. And he's like, someday I'm going to get you to run a marathon. And I said, nah, no, I don't think so. 3 miles is my thing. So when he heard I was doing the marathon after college, he goes, okay, I'll meet you in Eugene, and I'll run with you, not like with me by my side, but I'll run the marathon. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, we were sitting there and we were celebrating, and he's like, good job. He goes, but I just have to tell you, everybody runs one marathon. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, well, now I can't be like everybody else. I got to run two now. Because, you know, everybody has it on their bucket list to do one. So then I was like, okay, well, if everybody does one, I'll do two. So then that's when I signed up for my next marathon. And then it just kind of went from there. You know, I like competing. I like that it's just me, and that you are always trying to, you know, PR. There's always something you can do better or get faster or learn from. And so I've just have become addicted since then.
Gotcha. Everybody gets their itch a little bit differently, but it all kind of gets to that same place of like, it's always, I can go a little bit farther, a little bit faster, whatever the case, or at least in many cases, that's mm-hmm. how it ends up being. With that in mind, and that kind of competitiveness and always trying to push yourself and to go farther, go faster. You know, it's been my kind of experience that, you know, running is one of those things where, you know, you got to play the long game. And we kind of touched on that just a minute ago with the training and you know, your friend running a little bit slower than you, that you got to keep the long-term goals in mind. And it seems like in a lot of cases that sometimes that competitiveness, which can be great on race day, can really be a negative when it comes to training and running appropriately, running appropriate pace, the easy days, easy and things like that. How do you keep that in check for yourself, being a competitive person, always trying to push yourself harder to rein it in when you're supposed to, so that when you are supposed to go hard, you have gas in the tank and you don't, you know, end up being injured because you're going hard too often.
Yeah. I think actually coaching other athletes has helped with that a lot. It's crazy, and I'm sure you've dealt with this too, the amount of athletes that are sick or are starting to feel a little bit, you know, like, oh, my ankle or my knee's bugging me, and they keep going hard. And I'm just always so confused. I'm like, hey, our motto is like, look, if you miss a couple runs, it's not going to kill you. You're not going to lose your fitness. We would rather have you run healthy than run on a bum knee or mm-hmm. that you have a cold or the flu or it leads to something. But that's kind of coaching other athletes and kind of seeing their flaws has kind of put into mind has made me realize, okay, I don't want to be like that. I can't, if I'm coaching someone and telling them not to run when they're sick, I can't be out there running when I'm sick. Mm-hmm. Or I can't be running, you know, when I have a bum ankle and also to touch on my competitiveness just a tad bit, because I would probably push it more than I should. I have coached myself and she definitely tells me a lot of times, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And what's the long-term goal here? Is it to run a half marathon PR today in your training, or is it to PR in your marathon in 3 months? And so with her kind of, you know, chirping in my ear and telling me that helps. I mean, coaches need to be coached. You can see that across all sporting type things. And so that helps keep my competitiveness in check. And also my husband's job, he is in sports, and he just knows a lot about strength and performance. And he always asked me the why. He goes, why? Why would you do that? Why? What's that helping? You know? And I'm like, oh, okay, I can't answer the why, so I probably shouldn't do it. And so that's helpful as well.
Yeah, thinking about the outcomes, I often use the risk reward kind of scenario or that metaphor of, you know, so you go out there when you're not feeling good, when you're got kind of coming off of a cold or congestion or something like that, and yeah, so maybe you could go out and do 4 or 5 miles or whatever the case might be, but like, what's the reward for that? Is that so you got to put a mark on Strava or on Garmin that you ran that day, but the risk is that now that congestion comes back full force because you wore yourself down before you're ready to go. So yeah, you gotta ask those questions and ask yourself why you're doing things or remember the big picture. Yeah, one or two missed runs isn't the end of the world, and for some reason runners, that seems to be a problem that we as a species have. It's like every run is do or die in our minds, but in actuality, it's just not the case.
Yes, I would agree with that. I have runners sometimes that I have to take, like, I know that they're sick and they won't take the time off, so I'll have to completely erase their schedule for that week. I'm like, does that help you? And she goes, yes, that definitely helps if you'll just take it off the schedule because they want to stick to their schedule so bad.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you gotta know that every once in a while it's okay to allow yourself to heal. I mean, honestly, that's what it comes down to. Recovery, be healthy, and that's going to lead to more success, more progress, more growth in your running anyway than pushing through when you're not feeling good or when you got a little ache and pain that could be something small, but you push through and now it becomes something big. That's not a good situation to be in. So, how'd you get into coaching, Carly? I mean, obviously, you know, you've been an athlete for most of your life and grew up with that competitiveness and found the sport of running and enjoyed it. What took you down the coaching rabbit hole?
Well, it happened. So I lived in Eugene, Oregon for 4 years before moving to Oklahoma. So yeah, I went from the running capital of the world to Norman, Oklahoma, where I thought there may not be runners. I'm like, I hope I can. There are. There's runners everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I did find runners here. And I met an amazing gal named Christy Thomas, who later became my business partner. And we were training for a marathon together, and we were just talking about how many people were reaching out to us asking for advice or how many training plans she's done for people. And it just kind of came to us like, okay, well, let's see where we can go with this. Like, people are asking our advice and texting us and having us do training plans on the side for them anyways, you know, what's worked for us. And so that's kind of where it started, was just her and I on those runs together, just talking about and dreaming about what Wahoo running could be someday. And it started 4 years ago as a little kids running club, which we still do in the spring and fall. But then we kind of expanded. We want to help adults, you know, achieve that feeling of accomplishing a marathon or a half marathon or even a 5K. You know, everybody starts somewhere, and we really just have a passion for helping other people. And so that's kind of where it all started, was not too long ago. We just started running together, and we just kind of came up with an idea and we ran with it.
Awesome. I love it. What was, you know, like you said, you're getting started with the kids. What's it like working with kids and trying to get them into running? Is it like herding cats, which is kind of the image that I have in my mind? Is it organized chaos? What is that like for you guys?
You know, it is a little bit of organized chaos, but the one thing that we want to do is, if you watch kids in their natural state, they love running, right? I mean, they're at the playground, they're playing tag, they're running all over the place. I mean, you can't hold them still at a dinner table. You can't hold them still anywhere. And so, but for some reason, somewhere along the line, it becomes a punishment, right? Like in sports, we make them run lines or, you know, and we want to give them the joy of running, right? We want to get them what they naturally love to do and just do it and help them to do it properly and teach them about, you know, just, we teach them about everything that we teach adults, you know, we teach them about good form and cadence and they're interested in it. They want to know. And we, you know, we talk about breathing and how to breathe properly, and they like to compete, and it's really fun and it's really rewarding. And then, so what we do is, in the fall and in the spring, they train for a 5K, and it's a 12 week program. We just meet once a week, and to see them at the end of those 12 weeks coming across that finish line, it's pretty dang amazing. It's just like you would be like at a marathon watching those people that never thought they could run 3 miles or 26.2 miles, and they did it. It's the most inspiring, awesome thing to be a part of.
Gotcha. That sounds really cool. What's compare and contrast coaching the kids versus coaching the adults, that is now something that obviously you guys do as well. What's Well, we'll just start there. Compare and contrast. Is it fairly the same? Even though, like you said, you're teaching a lot of the same things, but are they equally receptive? Or are maybe the adults less receptive? How does that comparison go?
You know, I've kind of worked with two different types of athletes as far as for the adults. You know, there's the type A that you hand a plan over to, and they are going to stick to it, you know, to the T. They're not going to change anything. They're going to hit their paces. They're going to want more. They're going to ask you what's next. And then there's the ones that, like, you check in on, and they're like, oh, I haven't even ran this week. So, and I'd say the same as with kids. You know, we're all just such different individuals. And what makes someone else tick is completely different than what. So learning how to get the best out of every single person and individual and individualizing things to learn what you're going to get out of people. And that's why coaching, instead of just going online and buying a canned plan per se, finding a coach that knows you and knows your strengths and what you're going to need throughout that training is what makes something great. That's where it took me from a 409 marathon to a 348. Like, you know, those things of just teaching you, what you need and customizing it to your needs, because we all are different. Every single one of us comes from a different background, has different personalities, has kids or work or whatever, the stressors in their life that are going to affect their marathon or their training. So just learning that everyone's different and everything's going to, I don't know, everyone's going to need a little different way to be trained or, and so we do our best with Christy and I just being the two coaches at Wahoo, you know, trying to, cause we have kids that are ages 4 to 12. And so a 4-year-old needs much different than 12. So, we do our best to try to keep things specific to the age group, but, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I bet it would be, you know, like I said, in my head, even it's still kind of a just chaotic thing. But, at the end of the day, I would imagine that it would be something that would be a good day to go to work when you know you get to work with a bunch of kids and just, you know, see the joy that they have. And like you said, like, all, you know, kids like doing that kind of thing until a certain point. Then like you said, it becomes a punishment. But when it's still fun, boy, the joy is clear on their face and every step is a good time.
Yes.
So I want to, you know, one of the things that I always love doing, Carly, when I have a fellow running coach on is, you know, kind of share some tips and some tricks and some things that, you know, that either I've said before a dozen times and people have started to drown out my voice. So hearing a different voice say some of the same things, maybe it helps to get through their head. And also, it's always nice to me or nice for me because there's always something that, you know, we can always all learn from. And so I can ask some other coaches some things that they do that have seen success in their athletes. And it gives me an extra, you know, piece of ammunition or tool to use in my toolbox with the people I work with. But before we do that, I do want to take a quick second and pay a couple bills and thank Ultra for sponsoring and continuing to support the show as an affiliate partner. You know, Carly, the way we originally connected was we're both part of the Red Team, which is Ultra's ambassador group this year, the Ultra Red Team, and kind of connected on Facebook and you know, as they say, the story goes, and here we are at this point and able to connect a little bit and share a chat. But, you know, as I've often done, as listeners of the show know, when I have an Ultra person on the show and it's an Ultra episode, I love to ask, what is your favorite pair of Ultra shoes and why do you love that style? And, you know, as per usual, there's probably no wrong answer here because every shoe I've tried tends to be pretty good. But what is your favorite and why?
My go-to shoe is the Escalante. And I, you know what? I just love it. I was a Nike runner for a very long time, and I made the switch a couple years ago, and I haven't turned back. And honestly, I haven't really switched from the Escalante. I found something that worked, and I love it. So I'm very excited to be a Ultra rep this year, and I'm also excited because all my runners are switching over too, and they just are starting to feel the Ultra love. So it's been awesome.
There we go. And a good little nugget right there as well. If you have a good shoe that works for you, you know, don't tell the Ultra folks, but if it's Ultra or not, if it works for you, don't go looking around. But if you're looking for a good pair of shoes, haven't heard too many people say too many bad things about the Escalante. So you can definitely check those out. If you have a local running store that carries Ultras, get them there. If not, disruns.com/Ultra will direct you to the Ultra site and throw a couple shekels into the bank account as well. So Carly, like I said, before we got into all things Ultra there for a couple minutes, love to get some coaching tips, some things that you do that, you know, that the others can learn from and implement in their own running and hopefully help them to be healthier, be more successful, things of that nature. So, you know, I don't know. We can open up wide, we can stick in one area, whatever you want to do. But you know, when it comes to the clients that you work with, what is one of the most common piece of advice that you kind of give everybody across the board? And again, knowing that everybody's different, they need different things, but in general, kind of what's a pretty safe bet that most runners need to do or should do XYZ that maybe we're not always so good at doing, and we'll take it from there.
Yes. One thing that sets Wahoo running just kind of apart from some other coaching businesses are starting to do it, is band work. We're really, really big on band work. Just getting those glutes firing, getting those hips stronger. You know, runners like to run. They don't like to do much else than that. So strengthening those small, tiny muscles, getting those glutes to fire before you run. We have every single one of our athletes before they go out for a run, do the band work. It's just a 2-minute little sequence that we put together. And let me tell you, if you can get those things firing before you even step foot into, you know, your race or into your just, you know, training run, it is going to help you immensely throughout that run. And also with that, so we do the little band work, glute work before the run, and then recovery work afterwards, the things that we don't want to do, right? Runners want to run, but there's so much that prep work before you run, and then there's a lot of work afterwards. It takes a lot of work to stay healthy, especially if you're putting a lot of miles on your legs. You know, with the foam rolling, we like to send out a lacrosse ball to all of our athletes just so that they don't have the excuse, well, I don't have that at my house. Well, now you do. So, you know, sit on that lacrosse ball or roll out your feet, or just self-love and self-care for runners is huge for us. And then also another thing that we're really like to hit home is make your slow runs slow and your fast runs fast. You know, we read a lot of research on just, you know, people have said, man, I never thought running, if I ran slower, I'd get faster. And it's just because there's a why behind that run. You know, there's a reason you're running slow on those days. And there's a reason, you know, you're going to have some speed work on one day a week, because we're trying to, you know, use tax different systems of the body and just build up endurance, you know, for your knees and your ankles so that you aren't injured just starting out. Those easy, slow miles are huge and very, very important. So, but yeah, those are just a couple tips that we really hit home is the band work and firing the glutes, make your slow runs slow, your fast runs fast, and then the recovery work, you know, taking care of your body after the runs. It's, you know, it doesn't take much time, but it does take time, you know, just 10 to 20 minutes a day if you can in the evenings or whenever, of foam rolling and stretching and lengthening those muscles that are, you know, tight and tired from the runs that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really is just a little bit here and a little bit there really does add up. You know, at least I know a lot of folks sometimes come into it thinking that, you know, oh, I don't have an extra hour or an hour and a half to do all of this other stuff, and it's really not necessary. Like you said, a couple minutes with the band work beforehand or whatever, some type of good warm up that gets your muscles going, and then you know, if you can do it right after the run, great. If you have to do it later in the evening, like that's fine too. But just doing some of that recovery stuff. We'd love to pick your brain a little bit about the band work, if you don't mind. You know, what kind of exercise are you doing? So, well, and first, maybe just so everybody's clear, we're talking about like a little elastic band, resistance band that you can get at like Target, Walmart, wherever, any type of sporting goods store, probably for just a few bucks. Is it like the loop, like the one that's a full circle? Is it a straight band? What are we talking about there?
Yes, it is a circle, and yes, like you said, you can even get them on Amazon. The brand that I like is Perform Better. I like the elasticity, and it doesn't seem to break. Yep, it's just a little loop band, and we put them around our feet, ankles, and knees, and we do different exercises. So if people are familiar with exercises, glute bridge is one that we're really big on, and also just doing squats with it around your knee. A lot of times runners can have weak hips and glutes, and so they'll have knee valgus, and that means when your knee kind of turns in. So if you can learn how to strengthen that hip, actually to pull the knee kind of out into better alignment, that's going to be huge before just going and pounding your self on the pavement for running. So we work on just a lot of what other types of moves that we do, just a lot of like monster walks side to side, back and forward. And we do have a YouTube channel that has our band sequence on there. And like I said, it takes less than 2 minutes. And we really make sure that our athletes are doing that. So we if an athlete does call us and says, you know, I've been having some this issue, that issue, I'm like, well, are you getting your glutes firing before? And I was like, call me in a week and do your glute exercises every single day this week. And then if you're still having those issues, we'll talk. And then a lot of times they'll call and they're like, oh, wow, no, it kind of worked itself out. It's a lot of times some sort of muscle isn't firing properly, mm-hmm. right? So if we can get the muscles to fire properly and work for us, then it's going to help us on our runs too. So, but yeah, that's the information on the band work.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to link up the video since you said you have one. No reason to reinvent the wheel. If you're looking for some good warm-up exercises to do, we'll have it linked in the show notes, disruns.com/533, and you can watch that video and incorporate the exercises. Definitely, you know, always good to make sure that the hips and the glutes especially are strong and firing, because that is definitely a weak area for a lot of runners. You know, and then you mentioned another thing that I've preached until I'm blue in the face, and again, like to have a different voice saying the same thing, because maybe sometimes that helps it to resonate a little bit more. But the running slow. You know, so often like we referenced earlier, you know, people are looking on your social media, on your Strava account, things like that. And it's like, oh, you know, you're running XYZ pace. Like that seems so slow, whatever the case might be. But there's a reason for that. So when you have a client, and I think any coach that's listening has probably had several of these clients where, you know, you're trying to get them to slow down and they just won't do it. They just can't comprehend that's running slower most of the time when prescribed is going to help them to race faster, to run faster, to perform better on race day. How do you, you know, like you said, there's research out there. It's not hard to find. It's not hard to cite it and quote it, but how do you help get through to those athletes, those clients that are just struggling to slow down? Because it sounds counterintuitive. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here preaching to the choir, yet even in my own head, I know it sounds ridiculous, even though I know, I believe it. And I know it works. I've seen it work for myself and my clients as well. But how do you help get through to people that are having a hard time believing that running slower can actually be something that helps them get faster down the road?
Well, one thing that helped me was kind of seeing it happen, like in front of my eyes. Sometimes, you know, we can be told, like you said, till you're blue in the face, something, but until you can see it just like happen before your eyes, you're like, wow. So a lot of things I'll do is I'll just talk to them about other people and like just their situations. And I'm like, you know, my friend Christy, or my business partner Christy, she can, you know, run a 10, 11 minute pace mile on a slow day, and she can go down and kick your butt at a 6:30 if she wanted to. Like, you know, I was like, she can do it, but just because she can doesn't mean she does, right? Mm-hmm. And she qualifies for Boston every single year, but yet she's out there running 10 to 11 minutes with some of her buddies on those easy days, or, you know, maybe it's not a training day, or she just knows the why behind every single run before she goes out. And also I tell some of my athletes, if you really have a hard time slowing down, maybe jump on the treadmill. So then you can kind of see right there in front of your face, like put it on, you know, 6 miles per hour. So you're doing a 10 minute mile and stay there and see if you can do it. You know, I challenge you. I'm a competitive person. I like a challenge. So a lot of times I'll tell you, okay, you find it challenging to run a 7 minute mile. Well, I'm going to challenge you to run a 10 minute mile. Can you do it? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just trying to make a challenge out of it, because it is hard. It's hard to run fast and it's hard to run slow. That's the point. But if you can run in good form, you know, I always challenge my athletes, if you can run with good form, I challenge you to run even slower than what, you know, I prescribe, or on the slower end of what I prescribe, I guess I should say. But yeah, no, there's a lot of science behind it, and there's a lot of people that just watch their watch their training and then watch their performance and see what happens. It's pretty remarkable. Even, you know, Meb, he trains 2 minutes slower than on his easy days. He's 2 to 3 minutes slower than what he goes out and races on marathon day. So they're one of the greatest runners in the world, mm-hmm. does it too. So if he's doing it, I'm doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, one of the things that you brought up that I've heard as, I don't know if it's excuse is quite, maybe that's a little strong for what I'm trying to say, but as a reason against, or kind of a little pushback against slowing down, is that, you know, my form goes all to hell and like I start to hurt in random places when I'm running slow. So I just need to pick it up a little bit so that my form can stay, you know, can stay consistent, or can be good still, can continue to be a good form at that point. If I go down too slow, it all goes, you know, it all erodes and things start to hurt. How do you overcome that other than to just challenge to continue to keep going? Because, you know, obviously we're not trying to get our athletes injured, but we also know, I think, that going slow on the appropriate days is something that really does help to prevent injury long term. So how do you bridge that gap between it hurts me kind of a little bit right now, or at least it feels uncomfortable, it doesn't feel natural, to let's get to where we can do this consistently, and all of a sudden it's gonna pay the dividends.
So what slowing down does is it forces us to pay attention to our form, right? Mm. So when you're running at your comfortable pace, you're not thinking about your form because it's comfortable. You're at a comfortable pace. You do this all the time. It's easy, right? But if we slow it down, if you focus on trying to run with good form, that will keep your mind and your body and you're knowing your purpose behind that run, right? So slow it down, focus on your mechanics and pay attention to how your body's feeling, because that's when I pay attention to my form is when I slow it down, because then I can fix things. I'm like, okay, I've been overstriding a little bit lately. I've been heel striking or whatever it is. I'm going to slow it down a bit. I'm going to take smaller steps and I'm going to get back to where I should be and working on my form and staying tall. And also I've noticed too, and people, if you look at people's marathon pictures at the end of the race, they're all crumpled over and they, you know, and it's because they don't have good form at the end, right? So if we can slow it down and work on that form in the slow miles in our training, it's going to help on marathon day when we do get tired. Okay, nope, stay tall, work on, just left, right, I got this. You know, just little things like that, that I think those slow miles will pay huge dividends in the end.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one other thing that I would add, and I'd be curious to see if you would agree with this as well, is that, you know, like you said, at first it's going to feel awkward and you're going to have to kind of focus on it and focus on maintaining that slower pace, that easier pace and good form and all those things. But as with anything, stick with it, be diligent with it, and it won't take long before that becomes pretty much second nature. And all of a sudden, all of your easy runs tend to be pretty, you know, you can almost go on autopilot and stay in that easy mode. Is that something that you found as well?
Yes. Yes. Actually, it was kind of funny. When I first met up with Christy, I told her, back in Eugene, I was running with all these older ladies because I didn't know anybody when we first moved there. And they all ran about a 10 to 11 minute pace. But then I'd go out and kill a half marathon. And she goes, really, that was saving you, like, from injury. Like, I didn't know back 4 years ago that those slow runs with my older lady friends, that it was actually saving my body. And so that was really, that is, yes, no, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it's you know, just like anything, practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the more natural it becomes. And to kind of close out this little segment here, or this part of the conversation, Carly, you've mentioned a couple times, knowing the why behind you do it, and with the easy running, knowing why you do it. If you could, as succinct as possible, it could be a sentence, could be a paragraph, whatever it takes. But again, just to try to hammer this point home to folks that are still kind of holding out a little bit, what is the why behind running easy as far as you're concerned, as far as what your research and your learning and your experience has taught you? Why should anybody who's looking to race faster, run faster, you know, what is the most important reason, that the biggest why behind slowing down and keeping those easy runs where they're supposed to be?
I honestly think just, our bodies are, you know, amazing creatures, and we have so many different and just energy systems. Teaching your body how to work at, you know, a very fast pace, and then also teaching your body to work at a slow pace, you're going to burn different energy systems. You're going to tax different energy systems. You're going to teach different energy systems how to work better. So then on race day, you can kind of pull from every single one of those. If you're out there for 4 hours, you know, that 26 that or 26.2 miles, you're going to be doing a lot of different things. You're going to be using a lot of different energy systems, and just teaching your body how to be effective out there. And just know the, like you said, all those runs that you do in your training, the slow runs, the fast runs, the easy runs, your threshold runs, your intervals, all of those come together right on race day. That's the goal, to have it all come together on that final day and have your body just be ready to, you know, tackle whatever it is, whatever distance it is that you're trying to accomplish. So I really think that if you can really understand why you're going out there today, what's the benefit of this run? You know, if I'm doing 7 miles at an easy pace, why? Right? Am I building up my body for endurance to injury? Because a lot of runners get injured, you know, with that same cyclical movement over and over again. But teaching your body just to be effective and just to take care of it will be so big in the end, and pay off for once it becomes marathon or race day.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like I said, I always love getting different perspectives or different ways of wording this, the same thing that I've been saying forever. And I love that. And it's totally true too. I mean, all of the different body systems, they all got to work together, and you got to train them all, or else they're not going to work together in as good of harmony. So, lots of good reasons to slow down, lots of good reasons to make that a priority. And as we get into that point of wrapping things up today, Carly, the way I have kind of fallen into the routine of ending the show is with something that's fairly similar to the introductory question. I call it a philosophical question, which can come across as kind of scary, but it's just a very simple, kind of like the beginning question, open-ended. You can take it and run with it. You can answer it in one or two words. We've had that. We've had, you know, 10, 15 minute answers, and a whole host of them that have been somewhere in the middle. But, I'd just be curious that, you know, at this point in your running career, and you know, coaching career and everything that's kind of led up to this point, how has running changed you, is the person you are now versus where you were on that day in the at the volleyball banquet when you told your dad you wanted to run a marathon? How has running changed you and maybe made you a little bit better person now than you were back then?
Yeah, that is a good question, and it's a good one for me to think about, because running has taught me a lot of things in life. And you know, being a college volleyball player and being on a team sport and being a hyper competitive person and being bummed at my teammates or bummed at so-and-so or bummed at this happening when you'd lose, then transitioning into a single, you know, a sport where it's just you and the road and the pavement and your mind. It's been pretty cool. I love that. I love the challenge of that is just you. What can you do? And I also think it's kind of held me more accountable that, like, you know, I always, not to blame other people when you lose as a team, but you can. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't have a good performance one day, it's you. It's not your teammates. It's not a collective thing. It's you. It's all on you. So that it's taught me about that. It's taught me things, like I said in the beginning, about my marriage, how I like to do things alone. I like to do things on my own, or I don't need anyone to help me. And then the fact that I called my husband, you know, halfway through a marathon and said, "Hey, help me get to the finish line because I can't do it without you." And that's kind of what marriage is too. You know, I don't want to do this alone. So will you help me do it together? And then also just to be a mom, showing my kids what it's like to, you know, to be active. And, you know, I had a 2 years old out there running laps in my front yard. She would go out, "Okay, I'm going to go out for my run this morning." I'd drink my coffee and watch her just run her laps. And everybody thought I was making, because I'm a running coach, that I was out there making my kid run laps. And I'm like, no, she legit likes to do that. So, I mean, it's cool to see them grow up with a passion for either running or just being active, as our hopes as parents. And then also just kind of the amazing people that has brought into my life. Every time I move somewhere, so I'm originally from the Northwest, and I moved to Seattle, then to Eugene, Oregon, now to Norman, Oklahoma. Every single time I move somewhere, I find my running buddies, and the people that are brought into my life through this sport is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, hey, I have a business partner now that I never even knew I was going to have this business a couple years ago. And people that, you know, my husband works a lot, so people that are just going to drop everything to be at my door and help me. And they're my running buddies. They're not my best friends from high school or from college. They're my running friends, and they know pretty much everything. I don't know everything about me. You know, it's funny what you'll say on a run, but you wouldn't say to anyone else anywhere else. So it's been pretty amazing and really cool to see where this running journey, and it's not even about really like the PRs or the, you know, or the, what I've done. It's all about the people that I've met and the people that I've also seen come across that finish line that never thought they were going to be able to. I mean, that's where I find joy, is just helping others, you know, reach their goals and their dreams. Because then I, you know, I don't know, it's really fun to see. And I, really, really enjoy that. But yeah, so running is awesome. And I think that everybody can, and I think that everybody should run. And so that's my dream, is get everybody back running again. So
I love it. You're preaching to the choir here, Carly. There's no question about that. Everybody listening, probably feels pretty darn close the same way. It's just something we do because we love it, and the people around it, the community, it's fantastic, and always a good learning opportunity, and it'll change you for sure. There's no question about that. So again, guys, if you want to check out more about what Carly's got going on, some of the coaching opportunities that her and her partner have, and all things, wahoorunning.com is the website, at wahoorunning on all the socials. And again, we'll have everything linked up, including the band work video at disruns.com/533 if you want to check that resource out and use it and let Carly know how it helped you. You know, did maybe some aches and pains went away, your form improved, whatever the case might be. Watch it, implement it, and then share what you learned from doing so. Carly, thank you so much for taking the time today. Certainly appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Hope other people enjoyed it as well and learned a few things along the way. That's always the goal. But thanks again for the time. Good luck in Austin in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
And beyond that, whatever the rest of the year has in store for you, can't wait to continue to follow along, see what happens. But all the best going forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Carly and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your big takeaway? For me, it kind of came down to a question that I asked Carly a couple of times, but something that she had mentioned early and continued to touch on as we went through. And that's the question of why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing the particular workouts, the runs, the strength training exercises, the recovery exercises, whatever it is, as it relates to your running, your workout, your training plan, what your coach is having you doing, whatever it is, why? What is your why? What is the why behind each workout? I think it's easy to lose sight of that. I think it's easy to just, you know, I do speed work because that's what the schedule says. I run easy because that's what the schedule says. And it's a good thing to think about why, to think about what is the purpose, because there is a purpose. At least there should be. If you have a good coach, if you have a good training plan, there should, you know, everything's on there for a reason. You know, every workout, every rest day, every cross training day, there's a reason behind it. So ask yourself why. Know why you're doing the different workouts that you're doing. And if you're not sure, ask your coach, ask somebody to help you. Because, you know, it's a lot easier to run slow. If that's the struggle that you have, and I know a lot of folks that do, it's a lot easier to run slow when you know the why behind it. Not just because some coach says it works, not because some, you know, physiology paper says it works, but, you know, really put it in plain English. Really understand that running slow is going to build your base. It's going to allow you to be more efficient as a runner at an easier level, which means that, you know, instead of having to push to 11 all the time, you can run just as fast, if not faster, but longer, maintain that endurance, all those things. There's so many good benefits for running easy, and that's just one example. So know why you're running, why you're doing the things you're doing on your training plan, in order to make it easier to follow the directions, to do what you're supposed to do, I think that's ultimately my takeaway. When you understand the logic behind running slow, when you understand the logic behind and the science behind slow running, fast running, recovery, doing the band work, doing the lunge matrix, whatever it might be, you understand the logic behind those things, it makes it easier to do it. And the way to get the logic, the way to understand, the way to know is to ask why. So great tip from Carly, and actually I think if memory serves, from Carly's husband, and definitely a great reminder for me, and definitely what my takeaway is to always remember to not only ask why for myself, but also explain why for my clients. So hopefully they won't have to ask; they'll already know. But you know, for those that are listening, ask why. It's an important thing to do. So that was my takeaway. What about you? Let me know your takeaway from this episode at DizRuns on the Twitter, DizRuns@gmail.com for email, and if you want to head over to the show notes, disruns.com/533. Obviously, like I said, we got links to Carly's stuff there. We've got links to the band work on the YouTube video, so you can watch that and maybe implement that into your training. And you can always leave a comment there as well, and that way other folks can see it, and it can live on for the entirety of the internet for other people to see and add to and learn from along the way. And it's always a joy for me when I see those comments pop up on the website. So disruns.com/533. And that is where we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Disruns.com/ultra. If you want to roll a couple shekels into my pocket to help keep the show on, the show going, the lights on, all those things. But again, if you've got a local running shop that sells ultras, go ahead and buy them there. That's a good way to do it. But if not, disruns.com/ultra. I'll get you your good shoes, at least my preferred shoes. You can try out the Escalantes, which is one of Carly's always favorites. If you haven't tried those already, be careful. You might fall in love with them. They're a great shoe. But whatever you want, DizRuns.com/Ultra helps keep the lights on. And until next time, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing the show, telling other people about the show, whatever it is. There's been a jump in listens lately, and I know it's because of you guys. So thank you so much. So appreciate it. And until next time, please be well. Take good care. Be safe out there. And we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.